Welcome to the GAIN Service Academy Admission Podcast. In these episodes, we will explore all things related to gaining a coveted appointment to the Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, and West Point. And here are your hosts, Rob Kirkland and Trish Penroth.
Welcome back to the GAIN Service Academy Admission Podcast. I'm one of your hosts here with Lieutenant Colonel Rob Kirkland. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. And you know what I want to do? I want to keep it real.
Today, we are going to be diving into Naval Academy admissions. It's the end of April. Today is April 19th, Friday, and it's the last day that the Naval Academy has stated that they're going to be giving out most of the appointments that they're going to be handing out for the class of 2028. So some really important takeaways that we want to break down for you today. The primary takeaway being that the number of appointees that are post-high school reapplicants is much higher than in previous years. And so we're going to talk about what this means. But bottom line, a lot of very highly qualified direct entry straight out of high school applicants were turned down this year, more so than in previous years.
This is something that we had to get out here as soon as we could, because I believe that this trend that we're seeing with, in particular with the Naval Academy, is something that's significant and something that we really need to talk about. Really great high school candidates that just did not get an appointment this year because of what we believe is the emphasis of the Naval Academy, but I would say all the academies, on candidates who have graduated high school and have had some time in college. Let's talk about that and what that means.
There are a few different ways that folks can be appointed. And every year, historically, about 26 to 30% of every Naval Academy class is made up of post-high school appointees, meaning they've either attended NAPS, the prep school, they have attended the Foundation Scholarship Program, or they're some sort of college reapplicants. And traditionally, NAPS and the foundation year don't really change that much. There's about 200 NAPS appointees every year, and there's about 45 to 50 foundation scholars every year. So that means that you have anywhere from 40 to 130 in past years college reapplicants that have been appointed. Now, this year, we are seeing that the total number of post-high school appointees is upwards of 40%, meaning 40% of the incoming freshman class, the plebe class at Navy this year, could be college reapplicants of some sort, post-high school reapplicants. That could put college reapplicants as high as 211. And the highest we've seen in the past years is 130. So depending on what the class profile looks like this year, we're really expecting to see a significant number of additional post-high school appointees this year.
So why is it that the Naval Academy seems to prize these post-high school applicants? First of all, let's talk about high school being watered down here. I teach at several colleges and universities. I've done that for the past 20 years. And I can tell you that a lot of people who graduate from high school are not ready for college curriculum. And this has been an ongoing trend, I think, certainly been happening over the last 10 to 20 years. And I think the academies are seeing this, is that people that are coming out of high school with fairly good SAT scores or good SAT scores and AP tests that they've taken since their sophomore year of high school are still not ready for a college curriculum, and oftentimes have to retake courses or just don't do very, very well with the freshman year at the academy. This is a systemic problem with high schools across the country. And I think it's reflected in why the academies seem to be moving away from high school applicants. So I would say that would be number one, based on my personal experience and what I've seen with what's being produced out of a lot of high schools these days.
And I think adding to this list is important to talk about the number of college reapplicants. If you look at the numbers from what we're seeing, more people are reapplying to Navy than to Air Force and West Point. And we had discussed this previously, that if there were more reapplicants to West Point and Air Force, they would probably take those over high school applicants because of these reasons. So just because it's not happening with Air Force and West Point doesn't mean that it wouldn't if they had more people reapplying in college and after that gap year.
We all know that from our own experience, or if you know you're the parents listening out here, you think about how you were different as a freshman in college than you were as a high school senior. It's just a big jump. And also you're making your own decisions in college. You're away from your parents unless you're, living at home and going to school locally. And the different parenting styles that we see in today's kids going to college versus, say, in previous generations where there was more of a hands-off approach. You see a lot of candidates that are coming out of high school parents have been very much more hands-on with making sure that homework is being done, make sure grades are being kept up. And what sometimes happens to some of these students when they get to college away from the parents is that they, without that supervision, they don't do as well. And so a person who goes to a college or university on their own and is able to get great grades or keep their grades up shows that they have that maturity where they can perform academically away from their parents. So I think that is another area, this maturity and being able to make your own decisions. I think that's an important part of the college experience.
And I would add in the grit and determination to not only get good grades, but to reapply. Because if you're in some sort of prep year, whether it's NAPS, the foundation program, or potentially Navy or OTC, you're experiencing a version of plebe year. And now you're going to go experience it again. And you're going to live a very difficult, stringent life at the Naval Academy. It takes a certain type of person to do that.
Yep. And it's a pain in the butt to reapply and to re-interview, fill out the application again, do your congressional interview, do your interview with a blue and gold officer again, or your ALO or the... all that effort to apply again, you'd have to carry them out in a box in order to leave an academy because of all the work and effort they put into that. The academies have really been focusing on grit and determination. There's a book by Angela Duckworth called Grit. She's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, and she looked at freshmen or plebes at West Point going through the cadet basic training and then going on to the academic year. And she found that those who had experienced a setback, i.e. not getting in your first shot or having some sort of setback in high school and then were able to overcome it, of course, were more likely to stay at the academy than somebody who hadn't had any bumps in the road along the way. A reapplicant is a perfect demonstration of this grit and determination that the academies are looking for.
You're spot on, especially with the... You look at the Navy core values of honor, courage, and commitment. Commitment. I mean, that's commitment if you're going to go through that hassle again and really prove it. What percentage, if you could guess, what percentage of candidates who say they're going to reapply, get turned down, actually go on to reapply?
Oh, it's got to be low. I know talking to some candidates who didn't get into the academy but then got into ROTC, that when I tell them, if you want to reapply here, you've got to take this SAT and ACT a few more times, they're silent on the other end. They don't want to deal with doing the SAT or ACT again. So that's just another example of where you've got to show that determination and grit to want to reapply and to go through the pain of having to do an SAT or ACT again or multiple times.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly it speaks volumes of someone's character if you're willing to go do something like that.
I don't know what the percentage is. I mean, it's a good question.
I'm going to say it's 10% of people who say they're going to reapply if they don't get in, actually reapply.
Well, I mean, the good news is if you do reapply, that your chance of getting in are probably pretty good.
Very good.
When I talked earlier about the courses, if you do well in college courses in general are a lot harder than high school courses. So if you're able to do well in your courses, and we'll talk about the courses you should take in college because that's going to be one of the major tips here, that proves to the academy that you can perform at a college level it shows that you can perform. And then I'd say the final thing regarding, you know, why the academies are moving away from, or not moving away from high school applicants, but prefer people who are going to colleges, I think the data's there. The data shows that re-applicants perform better. They perform better in college. They're more mature. They don't drop out as much. So I know they've got data that shows that. And so they love their re-applicants. So if you're thinking about being a re-applicant, okay, so one of my recommendations, if you're going to be a re-applicant, okay, is to take your freshman year and try to mirror the courses the freshman year at the academy you're going to be going to. So what, and actually all three academies are pretty much the same. You're talking about chemistry with a lab, history, English composition and literature.
Calculus.
What else am I missing? I know I'm missing calculus. One or two other things. What's that? How could I forget calculus? Yeah, you got to do calculus. And by the way, AB and BC calculus in high school. Take it again. Yeah, try to mirror the academy as much as possible and try to get as good a grade as possible. So what that shows is if you mirror the academy and you do well in all of those courses that are your freshman year, that shows them that if you go to your freshman year at the academy, you're going to do well in those courses because you've proven it.
Certainly, it's a much higher confidence level of success on the academy's part. It's getting B's or higher, no C's. And that means recognizing early on in the semester if you need help and asking for help early to make sure that you're able to get a B or an A in each class that you're taking.
Yeah, because if you're reapplying, they're going to be asking for your first semester grades at the end of, because they're not going to be giving you an appointment till January. And you're going to have to show your fall college grades. I mean, that's one of the main things that they're basing their admission on you on if you're a college applicant, is that you have those grades, you know, that you're not getting C's. So make sure you're doing that. That would be my number one thing. Number two thing would be, you know, go to a college or university that has some sort of ROTC program and at least participate in ROTC at these programs. If you combine taking those college courses with actively participating in ROTC or some sort of military environment, it's just going to reaffirm to the academy even more that you have a military propensity and that you're dedicated to the military.
Sir, what are your thoughts on, you didn't get into the Naval Academy, you go join Army ROTC and you want to reapply to the Naval Academy. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's great. I mean, obviously, the best thing would be to go to a program that has Navy ROTC, but there's only like 60 some odd Navy ROTC programs, whereas there's close to 300 Army programs across the country. It's a lot easier to do an Army ROTC than it is to do Navy in a lot of places.
And I would agree with you, but I would say you need to justify that, because admissions is going to be like, what are you thinking here? And you need to explain that in your personal statement and in your interview with your BGO as to why you chose a program that was not Navy ROTC.
Like, let me give you an example. Buffalo, New York. They don't have Navy out there. And so if you're out there, a good explanation there, if you're applying for the Naval Academy, is I wanted to go to college and experience the military even more and learn more about the military. And I was at Niagara University and I did Army ROTC, but I'm still dedicated to being a Navy officer.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's a good answer.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should apply. No, I think I'm too old to apply.
Well, you already mentioned it earlier, sir, but if you had a weakness, you should recognize what that weakness was and work to address it. For instance, if you didn't do as well in the CFA or you barely passed, now's your time to improve it and really show admissions that you're taking this seriously and that you are committed to being excellent and to being the best naval officer or whichever branch of service possible. And part of that is also improving your SAT or ACT. So you should be retesting. It's great if you can get a higher score, but if nothing else, you're showing admissions that you're not giving up and that you're committed to bettering yourself.
And that can be hard for, and that's part of that grit and determination, is the last thing people want to do is retake that SAT or ACT. So that's important. Two other things that came to my mind, you jogged my memory, would be making sure you're staying athletic. Even though you may be going to Division I school and it's not realistic to be doing intercollegiate sports anymore, continue to do intramural sports. Be involved in the sports at your college or university. The academy understands you're not going to be playing football for Ohio State or for University of Alabama if you're coming out of high school, but they want to see you're continuing with some sort of athletics, either working out on your own, but even better doing your intramurals. And then finally, I would say leadership. Just because you're going to college doesn't mean that your leadership ends, that you aren't being a good person in college who's leading groups of people in college. That's one of the benefits of ROTC, I think, is that that sort of has a built-in leadership component to it, but just not going to college, doing your classes. You're doing a little more than that in order to be able to show them that you're continuing to develop your leadership.
Those are great opportunities for college reapplicants to take advantage of and really just commit yourself to your reapplication year.
Let's be a little critical of the Naval Academy here. What's going on here?
Yeah, sir. That's a great question. The question that needs to be asked is, when you're looking at how students are selected and offered appointments, right? It's this big mystery for a lot of people. And they're not super familiar with the congressional nomination process and then how a member of Congress nominates a candidate, how that impacts admissions. And so if you're not familiar with the competitive and principal nominee methods, that's something to educate yourself about, because we're going to talk a little bit more about that here. But who is holding the Naval Academy admissions accountable for how they are selecting candidates who are nominated competitively? Meaning the candidate with the highest whole person multiple, as long as they're fully qualified, in a perfect world would be offered the appointment. And the question is, who's actually making sure that the Naval Academy is selecting the most qualified person in each district?
I mean, anecdotally, what I see is that I think that the Naval Academy is playing loose with the whole person multiple here. So, I mean, if you look at the whole person multiple, if you are in a district where the nomination slate of 10 individuals are going to the Naval Academy for decision on who that top candidate is, if you have the highest whole person multiple, according to congressional law, Title 10, that is U.S. law, says that if you win your district with whole person multiple and you're under a competitive slate, you are the candidate that is selected for admission for that congressional district. And so that consists of 40% SAT score or ACT score, 20% your grades in high school and I guess in college too, which would include the competitiveness of your high school, the grades and how you do in your grades, maybe rank in class would also be put into that. And then the other 40% was broken down into athletic achievement, leadership, candidate fitness assessment, and the evaluations you get from your teachers or maybe interview evaluations. And so it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty much 60% of it is you know, not even subjective at all. But what we're seeing with the Naval Academy is that they're fiddling around with this whole person multiple here. And I think they're giving additional points to people who are in college that I think is above and beyond what is mandated by law. Thoughts?
There's really no accountability for them from our perspective. So they have no oversight on the ability to do this. And it's really up to the admissions team to decide how much extra whole person multiple points they want to award to college reapplicants or to any factor in someone's admissions package.
From what I'm seeing, somebody who is a reapplicant didn't even compare to that person who was in high school who didn't get the appointment. So to me, what's going on here is that they're giving a whole bunch of discretionary points and ranking to people who are out of high school.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, you know, so what does this mean? I mean, obviously, I don't think that, you know, there's going to be, unless there's some sort of congressional inquiry about this, you know, and who knows, that may happen one of these days where, you know, a particular congressional district wonders, puts in a competitive slate, and they clearly have a person who's on top and doesn't get selected. There's going to be some inquiry on this. I think the only time that the Naval Academy's hands are going to be tied with this is if they're nominated as a principal or principal with numbered alternates, and you force the academy's hand in picking the top person. If you give a competitive slate to the Naval Academy right now, just because you're a great high school person with a great SAT score, you may be ranked over by somebody who is in college or is in like a foundation year or something like that, where that person may have not even been close to you. It'll be interesting to see. For example, some of these two people may have gone to the same high school, but they were only a year apart. And this person who graduated from high school, went to college, was not even close to this person who was a high school senior this year. But then the appointment comes, and then the person who's in college gets that appointment just because they happen to be in college. That looks like, to a degree, this is what's happening here.
For our high school seniors out there who were turned down, you have a really good opportunity to reapply. The Naval mm-hmm. Academy is going to offer you preference, and you're going to be set up really well, assuming that you do well with your grades and you do well in ROTC, if that's the path that you choose. So don't take it too hard. Don't take it too personally, because there were a lot of very highly qualified candidates that were turned down this year. And it's really just another test that you're going to have to overcome, meaning that you're going to be even more dedicated and you're going to have a lot more skills when you get to the Naval Academy eventually. So don't lose hope and keep pushing through.
Yep. And I'd say also that all the academies would love to go in this direction. So it's good news if you're a reapplicant. I'm not so sure it's good news if you're a high school senior who is a really solid scholar athlete leader. I think it just makes it even more difficult to get that appointment, given the clear preference at Naval Academy, but certainly all the academies have to reapplicants.
You've reached the end of another episode of the GAIN Service Academy Admission Podcast. Connect with us at GAINServiceAcademyAdmission.com. Love this episode of the podcast? Head over to iTunes, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you listen to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.